This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation is watching the situation developing with threatened fuel tanks at Napakiak. The U.S. Coast Guard ordered the Lower Kuskokwim School District to move the school's fuel away from the eroding Kuskokwim riverbank by the end of the month. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports the DEC will determine if more action is needed to treat the site.
The Lower Kuskokwim School District has until August 30th to remove an estimated 36,000 gallons of diesel fuel sitting within 100 feet of the riverbank. The Coast Guard is overseeing the fuel transfer, and Bernie Nowicki with the Department of Environmental Conservation says so is the DEC.
Right now, we will just be overseeing the process. And, you know, we're going to be working hand in glove with the Coast Guard while they move that fuel.
Is that typical when this amount of fuel is being transferred at once for the DEC to be present?
No, ma'am, it's not typical. But this seems to be a special case. It's got the concerns from the community, concerns from the state and the Coast Guard. So we need to have a presence there.
By the end of the month, Nowicki says the DEC will test the ground around the fuel tanks and determine if the school district needs to clean the soil before it, too, is eroded into the river. If the soil needs to be cleaned, it will most likely be done through land spreading. The process is common in rural Alaska.
Basically, land spreading is an area that they'll find away from everything that's kind of isolated. And they spread the soil no thicker than 6 inches, and they allow those volatiles to basically vaporize out of that soil over a couple seasons.
The Napakiak School was built in the early 1970s, but records of fuel spills only go back to the 90s. Since then, documents show that roughly 495 gallons of fuel has been spilled around the school's tanks. Those spills were all cleaned in compliance with state standards. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And in government news, Tara Sweeney, Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs at the U.S. Department of Interior, visited Nome Monday for an event called Reclaiming Our Native Communities, a roundtable discussion on public safety hosted by Karuk. The primary agenda included discussion on violent crime, missing and murdered Native Americans, and illegal narcotics. The events were closed to the media to facilitate, quote, honest conversation, unquote, but KNOM's Emily Hofstetter was able to speak with Sweeney and other officials from the White House and Bureau of Indian Affairs who are part of the conversation.
Sweeney sees events like the one on Monday as opportunities for partnership between entities like hers and local communities.
To listen to community leaders, advocates, to discuss issues on how we can arrest the statistics of violent crimes, sexual abuse, domestic violence, and missing and murdered Native Americans in our communities.
While press was not allowed to attend, Sweeney said Kowarik invited tribal representatives from the area, victim advocates, health experts, and law enforcement. This is the first event of its kind that the Department of the Interior, White House, and Bureau of Indian Affairs are doing in Alaska. But they have begun to do similar community discussions in Arizona and Oregon and plan on doing more nationwide in areas with high concentrations of missing and murdered Native people.
Right now, we think that improving data and working with the communities on getting accurate data will give us a good picture of what it is we are trying to solve.
Kate McGregor is the Deputy Chief of Staff for the Department of the Interior. She's noticed in previous conversations that communities aren't always aware of the resources available to them. Tribes sometimes have their own databases for tracking missing people, but might not realize there is a federal database, too. The National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, or NAMIS. McGregor says that getting those entities to communicate to each other is crucial.
We'd like to move in partnership, and it's always helpful to sit and spend time with these communities and hear what their opinions are, what they'd like to see in their communities when it comes to a smart solution and leveraging the assets the federal government has.
McGregor says that early this winter, when the Department of the Interior visited Gila River, Arizona, 116 names entered into NAMIS or identified as American Indian or Alaska Native.
And I think about three people jumped from the table and said, well, that's wrong.
McGregor says now more people are making use of that database, which is connected to the Department of Justice and FBI. Today, the number of people in Namus who are identified as American Indian or Alaska Native is at 400. Charles Addington is the director of the BIA Office of Justice Services and has worked in Indian country law enforcement for 25 years. He says the tribes have been outspoken in their public safety issues, like a lack of law enforcement and lack of justice for missing people.
We keep hearing from tribal leaders, we need help, we need help. And I think this show of concern for the problem and actually trying to bring a solution to the table is just paramount of getting some type of public safety services throughout the nation to address the problem.
These talks come after Attorney General William Barr visited Western Alaska earlier this summer and subsequently declared a public safety state of emergency. Last month, the State Department of Public Safety received $6 million in federal funding for Alaska Native communities to use for law enforcement projects. Right now, Assistant Secretary Sweeney says the BIA and Department of Interior don't have concrete ideas for policymaking or plans to issue funding to support specific projects.
We're going to continue to use these listening sessions as an opportunity to inform our internal discussions on what we would like to propose as policy solutions. So we're not coming here with a pre-baked idea. We want to hear from communities.
They plan to meet with Chilista Corporation and the Association of Village Council Presidents in Bethel for a similar discussion on Wednesday. Reporting in Nome, I'm Emily Hofstetter.
And finally, the packets are in, and the city clerk has finalized the list of candidates for Bethel City Council. Two sitting members filed for re-election, Vice Mayor Thor Williams and Councilmember Fritz Charles. Former council member Mark Springer is also in the race this year, along with three new faces, Alyssa Gustafson-Leary, Haley Hansen, and Cece Franco. Four of those six candidates will join Mayor Fred Watson and council members Carol Jung-Jordan and Perry Barr in October. Leif Albertson and Mitchell Forbes did not file for re-election. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yuktun News coming up.